Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Now, earlier on, I read out an email from a listener, Natalie, who's looking for advice on how to explain how she's had a miscarriage to her six-year-old twins. It's a really, really tricky one. And I suppose she's just struggling to find the language, the time, the courage, the support. When does she do it? How does she do it? Because that's something that you really don't want to get wrong. A lot of texts are coming in to 51552. Somebody texts me saying, "Hi, Jen. I'm so sorry to hear her news. In 2011, we lost two of our triplet boys full term. We had to explain to our 5- and 4-year-old boys that heaven got two new little angels to watch over them forever. Our third triplet, who survived, will be 10 next month. It's never easy, the anniversary and the birthday on the same day." Someone else says, "Hi, Jen. I've been through the very same situation as your listener. I'm very sorry for her loss and understand the loss. Everyone deals with a miscarriage or stillbirth in different ways. I had a miscarriage at the same time of your listener. I had already told my daughter the week previously about a new baby and then lost it very suddenly. I tried to explain to her that sometimes, like a seed, it doesn't grow into a plant, and this is what happened to the baby. We had a baby 3 weeks ago and my daughter will still talk about the baby that we lost, and I think it is important to talk about it even as time goes on. It would be nice for them if they could do something to mark the baby, maybe planting a tree in your garden that you can all remember it by. What a lovely idea." Someone else says, "Hi, Jen. The best advice is to sit the twins down and explain honestly in a child-friendly way. Answer questions honestly and know that it's okay to be upset together. Children are resilient and they will be okay, but it is important to be honest and it is okay to be sad." That's from Yvonne, a child psychologist. Natalie was struggling to tell her children. I hope you've got some advice, Natalie, if you're listening. Now, author Siobhan Parkinson is on the line and she actually went through the same awful experience and she joins me now. Good morning, Siobhan.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, Siobhan, when you were pregnant with your second child, you were given some devastating news, weren't you?
Yeah, I was at 7 months. I was told that the baby wasn't going to survive, and that he'd be born. You know, he wouldn't survive birth, really. And I had already, of course, at that stage, you know, you're very much prepared for a baby coming into your life. And I had to explain to my six-year-old. He was 5 at the time, but by the time the baby was born, he was 6. So I had to explain that to him. This is a very long time ago now, Jennifer. You know, it's like a different era in Ireland. It's 30 years ago. So I went, being a bookish kind of a person, my first reaction was, I've got to find a book to explain this to my child. I need a book. And I went out around looking for a book. And I went from bookshop to bookshop, and I'm sure I must have shocked the poor, unfortunate bookseller, because here I was with a big tummy and saying, "Have you got anything about babies who die?" And I think they were very, you know, it was very stressful for them, I'm sure, as well. But I couldn't find anything. I mean, all the books about death for children were about grandparents dying, which, of course, is most children's first experience of death. But that was no good for my situation. So I thought, God, there needs to be a book about this, because how do parents explain this kind of thing to their children? So I wrote one myself about my own experience, initially for ourselves, my own family, for my son, and then later it was published as well. And it's now been republished, and it's now available again, All Shining in Spring.
So when you sat Matthew down, I mean, what was the first thing you did or said to him? What's your advice in a situation like
this?
Yeah,
well, I mean, I feel so much empathy for Natalie. It's just such a sad story. And the way she describes it, she's in a fog of sadness. Of course she's in a fog of sadness. And she has to allow herself to be sad. But she also has to give, I would say she has to give her, the children will know. Her little girls are obviously very close to her. They already know that they're expecting a sibling. She's let them into that, you know. So they're a close family. They talk about these things. And they will pick up that there's something wrong. And they will know that there's, you know, if their questions aren't being answered about the buggy and the clothes, they'll begin to sense it themselves. And she needs But they also know that she doesn't want to talk about it because she's not answering the question. So I would say, now I'm not, I would just preface my remarks by saying I'm not a professional, and she probably does need professional advice, but I would say they will sense it. And so she needs to tell them soon. As soon as she feels able, she needs to tell them. And then she needs to give them permission to grieve. I mean, she's grieving, and she needs them to know that she's grieving, that it's all right to be grieving, and that she's not trying to pretend it's not happening. And she needs to give them permission to be sad as well. And then they can do it together. And sometimes people ask me, how did you handle your own grief and then have to handle your child's grief as well? And my answer to that really is that you don't see them as two separate things. If you once you bring the child into the story and they know what's going on, then you're doing it together. So it's not two separate griefs that you're managing, two separate bereavements. It's one bereavement, and there's different people grieving, but you're doing it together. And doing it together makes it easier, not harder. I know she probably feels now that it'll be harder, but actually it'll be easier once the children know.
Good advice. Was it a healing experience for you to do this all those years ago, just writing everything down?
To write the book, yeah. Now, at the time, people said to me, oh, this must be very therapeutic for you. And I kind of rejected that idea. I thought, no, this is about my son. And it was about my son. I needed, you know, he needed to know, and I needed to write it. I mean, I had told him at this stage. But then when I wrote it and we read it over and over again, and we did it for a long time after the stillbirth as well. It went on, as other listeners said, it went on for quite a lot, you know, for many years. But now, looking back on it now, I mean, I can look back with hindsight and see that, of course, it was for me also a very healing experience to write it. But that's not everybody's way of dealing with it, obviously. But it's a healing to talk about it. Talk about it with your partner and with your children. That's really where the healing comes, doing the talking and allowing crying. And don't be afraid to let children see that you're crying and let them cry, and people can cry together. And that's actually a very healing thing.
And to keep talking about it, your son, yeah. Daniel will be 30 now.
He would have been 30 the other day. Yeah, it was like his 30th birthday there on the 3rd of April. So we all just mark it in a small way. We light a candle and we just have a few moments to think about it. But we don't make a big fuss about it, but we do always like to mark it. And we planted bulbs on the grave. Daffodils and crocuses and tulips, and they were all yellow flowers. And so at the time, my little boy said, oh, when the spring comes, it'll be all shining. And that's where the title of the book comes from, All Shining in the Spring. And somebody else mentioned there, I think one of your listeners said, maybe you plant a tree. I think something like that is nice to do, to just mark it in some way so that you're acknowledging it, and it's something external. You know, it's not just all inside you, all this grief. There's a thing, there's an object, there's something that you can remember your little girl or boy by.
Well, I'm so sorry you had to go through this all those years ago for a book like this to exist.
Well, I think this is a really important book, you know, I think. And hopefully Natalie will be able to get hold of it. Now, it's a slightly different situation because a stillbirth is, you know, the thing about a stillbirth is it's desperate, it's devastating, but it has a kind of a public aspect to it because there is a coffin and there is a funeral. It's not like the funeral of an older child, but there is a small amount of, you know, people know about it.
Yeah.
Whereas a miscarriage is more hidden, it's more private, it's more difficult to explain to a child. I love that image that somebody had. It's like a seed that doesn't quite grow into a plant. That's a lovely way to explain it to a child. So I think she will find this book useful, but she should read it herself first and then find a way to mediate it to the children, because it's not quite the same situation, because there isn't a funeral and there isn't a coffin. And she'll need to say, well, look, it happens in different ways. You know, babies can die in different ways. And our baby died very young before it really got time to, you know, to have, to develop.
Yeah, it's a lovely way to explain it, especially to a child. All Shining in Spring is out now. Siobhan Parkinson, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.